beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the first week of February 2004, this is the Rain Report, Ham Radio's audio feature magazine, available both from rainreport.com and via telephone, 847-827-RAIN. That's 847-827-7246. I'm Mark Christian, KB6SRT, the new kid on the block. At their semi-annual meeting held in January, the board of directors of the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League, agreed upon and filed a proposal with the FCC that surprised many and angered others. Jim Haney, W5JBP, president of the ARRL, discussed the proposal with Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP.
Well, the proposal that the league put together and is submitted to the Federal Communications Commission is sort of a sweeping change of the number of licensed classes, and it's an attempt to get rid of some of the orphan classes out there, such as the novice and the advanced, and introduce a entry-level class of license more suitable to today's times, and that we would give somebody getting interested in amateur radio a little taste of HF, a little high frequency, and very similar to the old novice license, except instead of CW, it would be some voice. And the idea to put them in the top portion of the bands was to let them participate in some of the local nets and get HF operating experience. And the FCC told us basically that three classes of license is all they want. That was obvious in 2000 when they came up with the restructuring. So what the league did after many days of study and a couple of days here in Dallas and a few days there in Newington and at the board meeting, came up with the plan that we submitted. It's going to be a drastic change for a lot of people, I know. I've gotten a lot of email about it and some letters and stuff like that, but what I would ask the amateur population to do is consider the overall big picture. We've got a lot of data at our fingertips that some of it's fairly fresh, just came in November, about the state of amateur radio, if you will, here in the United States, and there was some alarming numbers, and we feel like that this new proposal that we put forth will solve some of those problems, at least that's our hope, and give amateur radio a little boost that would keep it going for the next 20 or 30 years. It's not something we did lightly, and it's not something we did just overnight. It was a lot of thought, a lot of study, and a lot of debate. Our executive committee, which prepared the original white paper, debated this back and forth over a period of 2 days. It was an exciting time for a lot of us, and I know when we first started out with the draft, there were some things about it I didn't like. There were some things about it the other directors didn't like. But finally, we came up with the white paper consensus amongst the EC, and we sent it out to the board of directors, and they made their changes and whatnot. Is the plan perfect? I doubt it, but by the same token, it's as good a thing as we could come up with based on the parameters we were given. Some of those parameters were for, like I said, the FCC made it pretty clear three classes of license was all they wanted. We also knew that there was 14 other petitions before the commission, and they couldn't sit on those forever. We asked the commission what was the time frame. Did we have a chance to have our board meeting and have our people look it over, the proposal, and they assured us that there was. So that's why we came out later than everybody else on a petition, because the way our organization operates, it's the directors that make the policy, and they had this white paper before them, and this is a policy change for the league. It's a drastic change, actually, from where we've been over the last 90 years. But on the other hand, we want to keep up with the time, so to speak, and like I mentioned to you earlier here, that we had some data at our fingertips. It was pretty scary. One of the things that we saw is a survey that showed that currently, of all the licensees, only 47% are active. The rest of them are inactive, and that kind of worries us a little bit. We also saw that 22% of people licensed in the last 10 years have never been on the air. They got their license, and that was as far as they went. And I'm concerned about why that is, and we're going to try to identify some of those people and get more information from them. I know one of the pieces of data we had, they talked about the cost of equipment. Another one said that they had no Elmer, no mentor that would help them out. That was very disappointing to me, because I would think that you go to a VE exam and take your test, you would meet some people there, or something guided you there, a local club or something like that. But one of the other blocks on the survey talked about not getting any help from the local clubs. And that, to me, just really bothered me a lot, that the local clubs are taking somewhat of positive attitude. I'm not saying all of them are, but I know this, and we all know that our local clubs could do more to promote amateur radio. Part I don't like is some of the peer pressure that we're seeing today, where if you haven't walked to the FCC building and barefoot in the snow and taken your exams before an FCC examiner, you're something less than worthy. I think that's the most ridiculous attitude some hams can have. It just really gets my dander up when I hear this sort of thing. Here in Dallas, my local area, there was an incident where the local school, under the big project, some of the kids got on the air, and they're new, they're brand new, and they were trying to learn, and they were trying to get over mic fright, and some old-time ham told them that they didn't use the proper procedures and stuff like that. I was pretty irritated by it because they were on the air to learn, and when people talk about new people not having the proper etiquette, if you will, just remember this, it's monkey see, monkey do. Those of us that have been licensed a long time, if we use the correct procedures and don't get into arguments and fights, and if somebody makes a mistake, you very carefully correct it and tell them why this is the way it is, it's a whole lot better. I know people listen a lot on their scanners, and when they buy their first 2 meter walkie-talkie or whatever, that they listen to see what's going on. And if we set the example, then we'll have a good crop of hams coming into the amateur radio service. But if we don't, then we get what we get, and it's our own fault. What's happened over the last 10 years, the current licensed people, it's gotten their 2 meter radios, got their no-code tech, and they start talking on some of the local repeaters, and the only time there's somebody around is during drive time. They're going to work in the morning or coming home in the afternoon. The rest of the time, there's not anybody there. So new hams get on the air, and they meet the same people after a few months or 6 months or a year, and the glitz and glitters wore off, and they just put the talkie up on the shelf and never go back to it again, and that's evident by the survey that we've got here that we commissioned a company called Redex to do. And it's not just Redex. Redex is a scientific survey, and I know a lot of the other directors have done polls and gone to conventions and ham fests and talked to people, and it's not hard for anybody to go out to a club meeting and look around and see all the gray hair and people that are up in their senior years, if you will. And that was one of the things that disturbed us, is suddenly the milestone is reached where 53% of all of us are 55 years or older, and that includes me. And that's not good. It's not that we're after a bunch of kids to come in. I personally love that because it's a project that I initiated and the league is supported and the membership is supported, but we're after anybody that has an interest in amateur radio, whether it be a 9 or 90, it makes no difference. The point is that we know how much fun amateur radio is and what you can do with it, and we need to introduce other people to it. But we've got to get rid of this little isolation ship that's formed of technician licensees on the local repeaters that just get on for a while and go away. That's why the new novice, if you will, and we don't really care what it's called. It can be called basic. It can be called entry. Pick a name. But we wanted to give them some HF experience and some 2 meter experience so they can see the full scope. The three classes of license are, I think, consistent with what the FCC has told us they wanted. And it gives you the stepping stones to go all the way up to extra class. And there we ask for 5 words a minute of code to be kept, because CW is fun. It's a tradition of amateur radio, and we want to see it still be part of it.
You're listening to an interview with Jim Haney, W5JBP, president of the American Radio Relay League, regarding the league's new amateur radio class restructuring proposal. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to the Rain Report from www.rainreport.com.
This is not rocket science. This is coming to grips with reality. And I know that people that have said, well, for years they said amateur radio is dying. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is that amateur radio is aging much faster than the general population. I'm saying that we're not offering a complete package of a little bit of all the aspects of amateur radio. We're only offering a very limited package right now. The technician class license that we currently have today was never meant to be of the entry class. It just became that way de facto. And if you look at it, it's just not the right way to do it. All of us on the board were novices, I think, at one time or another. And I remember how that was. And I was a very avid novice operator. I knew just about everybody on 40 meters many years ago, and never occurred to me to strive to get on 2 meters particularly. I mean, I wanted my general ticket so I could get out and talk to some of the DXers. And well, after I got my general, I found out all the DX was hanging out even lower than that, so I had to go get my advance. So that was the incentive, not necessarily that the license was a stepping stone back then, although it was. It was my incentive, and I'm sure it was a lot of amateur radio operators' incentives out there today. But we have to come back to that. We have to establish a suitable entry-level license that's fair and equitable and start from a new sheet of paper, so to speak. I know there's a lot of people that's upset about de facto upgrading of technicians to general without taking Element 3, but I've looked at Element 2 and Element 3, and there's not that much difference between them. There's some questions on HF about Element 3, but I recall back many times I've known over the last 30 years, and even when people would go down to the FCC building and take the exam, go in with nothing at all, and take a novice, take a general, and come out of general, and never been on the air. Where the experience becomes involved in this process is when they do get on the air. I would ask all amateur radio operators that's licensed today, and especially some of us old hams that's been around a long time, to remember back when you first was licensed. I mean, I was thinking about that the other day. When I was a novice, I didn't know beans from anything. Fortunately, I had a good mentor, and anytime I got in a fix, if you will, I didn't know how to do this. He had to teach me how to dip and load several times. I didn't understand the concept of it, which I do now very much, but back then as a novice I didn't. In my old multi-almac AF-67, it was one of those you had to do that to. And anytime I had a question about my antennas or whatnot, I'd call him and he'd explain them to me. And that's the other thing with the league starting a new mentor program. It's everybody needs a mentor. After being licensed 33 years, I still give my old mentor a call every once in a while because I'm working on a circuit or something like this. I don't quite understand it. Part of amateur radio is the fraternity of one helping another. And this class type thing where I'm better than you are just got to go. Those people that take that attitude, I'm very disappointed in, quite frankly. So that's our goal, Hap, is to kind of revitalize amateur radio, and our decisions, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, were not taken lightly. They were not done haphazardly. They were done with a lot of study, a lot of thought, and a lot of data, a lot of input. I know the other thing that's going around on the websites is why didn't we survey all 735,000 amateurs or something like that. Well, first off, financially, that's just not possible. We couldn't do it. The second reason is, and this is my reason, it's not the reason of the board, it's just me personally, is I don't think that Joe Hamm in Muncie, Indiana, keeps up with all the information that we do on the board. I get tremendous amounts of information about the amateur radio service, not only here in the United States, but globally. And in order to make an informed decision, you have to have a lot of this data at your fingertips. I know people like to give their input and love to offer their opinions, and they're certainly doing that now. I encourage them to do it whenever the petition that the league has submitted gets an RM number. The commission is going to do something. I don't guarantee that they'll take our proposal in bulk and just say, boy, this is great, and implement it right away. There'll be a notice of comments periods done. But I suspect what they'll do is take the better parts of all the petitions that are up there and take a good look at them and roll them into something that they're happy with or they're comfortable with. My only hope and wish is that they not take the short-sighted course and just summarily eliminate Element 1. What I want to try to do is convince the commission that they need to see what's good for amateur radio over the next 10 or 20 years and not just take the short road and the easiest way to eliminate Element 1. It's got to be more than that. So there you are in a nutshell a little bit, Hap, is what was the thinking behind this? Well, it wasn't anything to do with amateur radio and equipment manufacturers. I see comments about that all the time. I have to laugh when I hear this. Well, the league is in bed with the manufacturers to help them sell more radios. What the amateur radio population has to understand, and if you sit back and think about it, and we'll use Kenwood for example. For every 2 meter Kenwood radio is sold, you know how many stereo systems they sell? Amateur radio is such a small piece of their overall organization. Their commercial two-way is much larger than amateur radio. Same thing with the Vertex Standard and ICOM. They have other fish to fry that's in the industrial side of the business that makes amateur radio pale in the look of the bottom line numbers. So it doesn't make the equipment manufacturers one iota difference one way or the other. I'm sure they'll enjoy a little spike and increase in sales, and hopefully it'll stay up and not just be a spike. But saying that we're in cahoots, using a Texas phrase there, with the equipment manufacturers is sheer nonsense. It's just absolute baloney. All the years I've been involved in the league affairs, I've never once been approached by anybody in the industry saying that we should do this or that to increase sales.
The thoughts of Jim Haney, W5JBP, president of the American Radio Relay League, regarding its January FCC filing to modify the structure of the United States Amateur Radio Service. We'll hear more of this interview conducted by Hap Holly, KC9RP, next time. Now, for Hap Holly, I'm Mark Christian, KB6SRT, saying 73 on behalf of all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. The RAIN Report is copyright 2004. RAIN, all rights reserved.